ज्ञानतिम रंगसंज्ञानांजन श्लाक्य चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. So we are very happy to greet all of you back after your exams. It was a long period of hard work, endeavor. And we thought before we all return home, we can have a brief program. Most of you must be returning tonight and tomorrow morning back to your homes. When you are all busy with your exams, studying and writing and reading and everything, I was also busy with writing a book. So as you all know, the third book passed the final exam that was supposed to come out. I generally do it in the non-pitching time. Preparing that, the book became very bulky, almost like 800 pages. So I divided that into two and published the first part of it called Your Secret Journey. It just came out some days ago. The second book will be Victory Over Death. It will be the second part. So the past, the final exam became now doubled now. As Your Secret Journey and Victory Over Death. So I like this topic very much. Pass the final exam. Just like you all were working very hard for an examination. Of course, every semester you have some exams, and then finally you get a final exam, and then you get a BA degree. But this final exam that I was writing about is a very serious exam. It's a very serious matter. In our life, there are so many short happinesses and short sufferings. Brief happinesses and brief sufferings. But then there is one big suffering. And of course, it can be a doorway to big happiness also, depending on how we live our life. Just like the Mahakalpa and Mahapralaya of Brahmaji. There is a Mahakalpa when Brahmaji was created. And there is Mahapralaya in which even Brahma is destroyed. Even Brahmaji has to leave this Brahmanda and go away. But in between there are many kalpa pralaya, like a sinusoidal wave, small waves, many waves. So there is creation, there is annihilation, it goes on like that. Similarly, in our life also, there are many small bubbles of happiness. Actually, the word bubble is very appropriate because bubble is often bursted. So there are small happinesses and small disturbances in our life, which come for a certain period of time and go. So every one of us is put to test, like we all were put to test for some days ago. We are studying for the exam very seriously. There are two levels in which we can live our life. We see in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna told Arjun, in the third chapter, you find very seriously Krishna is telling Arjun, Arjun, you are a Kshatriya, so you have to do the duty of Kshatriya. Sadharma of which Ayyacha Nadi Kampita Marhasi. Dhanyadi Yuddha Shayanyat Kshatriya Sana Vidyate. If you see your Sadharma is to fight as a Kshatriya. How are you putting your Gandiva aside and relinquishing your duty? By giving up your duty, one never can go to heaven. But those Kshatriyas who die in the war, where will they go? They will ascend to heaven. And if you can't go, he said, Kitva, what it was, he says, Hatava Prakshasi Sargam. If you are killed, you will go to Sargam. And Hatava Prakshasi Sargam, Jitvava, Prakshasi Mahiya. In case you win, that is also no problem because you will conquer the whole earth like that. So fighting is glorious. Just like somebody wants to try IIT JEE or Gate or whatever. Such a very glorious exam. Even if you don't pass out, so appearing in that itself is a very glorious thing. Or GRE, TOEFL, people write. At least you can tell people I'm writing GRE, understand who am I. Isn't it? As soon as you are writing GRE, people will immediately think this boy is going to go to America. Like that. So Krishna said, even fighting the war itself is a glorious thing. And if you are killed, you will go to heaven. If you win, then you can, be the king of the whole earth, like that. So we find Krishna somehow trying to teach Arjuna how to stick to the prescribed duty. because Arjuna was becoming irresponsible. Just like if any of the students, you find them that they are one year down or 2 years down, not studying well. So sometimes we become very heavy with them. We tell them you cannot stay in the base, or you cannot eat prasadam in the base, you have to get out. So you have to take your studies seriously. One such guy was having some 8 or 9 papers. Father was very worried how this fellow is going to pass. Then I assured his father, see, this semester is going to plan out his studies nicely and he'll clear everything. So he cleared almost 8 papers, 8 out of 9, something like that. He cleared everything. Father was so happy. So much so that he became a devotee also. Father also became a devotee. So in this way, we insist people that they should take their studies very well. Because studies have a great influence in our life. So Arjuna was also stressed by Krishna that, Arjuna, you are a Kshatriya, you should do your duty. And then you find the fourth chapter, Krishna is giving knowledge, and then fourth chapter. At one point of time it appears Arjuna has now started understanding what Krishna spoke. And he starts accepting that I will do my prescribed duty. He starts hearing from Krishna, asking Krishna. And we see in the 7th chapter, where the first verse? Maya sakta mana partha yogan yinjan madashoya asamshayam samagrama yata jnasiti tat shunu. The platform came when Arjuna was just ready to hear Krishna. Krishna said, just hear. I'll go on speaking, you go on hearing. That means Arjuna started paying heed to what Krishna said. Okay, Krishna, whatever you say, I'll hear from you. He started hearing. And then Krishna gave a very vivid knowledge about himself. And at the end told them, you give up your duty. He told them, Sarvadaman Parityajan. So you wonder how he told him to give up his duty. Arjuna's duty was his Kshatriya's duty. How Krishna says, Sarvadharman Parityaja at the end. So he cleared the misconception of Arjuna. Of course Arjuna had no misconceptions. But on other behalf, Arjuna is representing all of us. So Arjuna agreed to fight because he thought, I am a Kshatriya, I have to fight, I have to win the kingdom. Like that Arjuna was thinking. But Krishna told him, Madam Arjuna, I don't want you to fight to win a kingdom and become a king. That is not my desire in telling you to fight. He brought Arjuna to a point where Arjuna will do whatever Krishna tells him to do. That is a real platform of a devotee. So the lowest platform is to be irresponsible. And the higher platform is to do one's prescribed duty. And the highest platform is to come to such a surrendered state that one can act on a spiritual platform, simply obeying the Lord's instructions. So at that time Arjuna, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told him, Sarvadharman Paritya Anekam Sharanam Braja. You just surrender to me and do what I tell you. That's all. And then Arjuna was ready. Arjuna thought, if Krishna tells me to go to forest, I'll go to forest. And if Krishna tells me to become ascetic, I'll become ascetic. If Krishna tells me to fight, I'll fight. So at that time, Arjuna did not fight because he was a Kshatriya. Why he fought? Because Krishna wanted him to do so. So this is a spiritual platform. Similarly, all of you, on one platform, you all are students. So you have to be told to do your prescribed duty of... What's the prescribed duty? Studying. It's very important. But the prescribed duty is a subset of the ultimate spiritual duty, prime duty. That is spiritual debt that we have for the Lord and His devotees coming in the republic land. That is actually a major duty, of which the prescribed duty is a subset. You understand what is a subset? There is a universal set, there is a subset. Like A is a set within the universal set. So the prime duty should never be forgotten at any cost. So absolutely very important. That's why I was preparing the book on pass the final exam. What is the final exam? Death is the final exam. So death comes for everyone, and sensible people realize it much earlier than it comes in their lives, and they make a proper plan, proper preparation before it comes. Just like how many of you experienced that you went to the examination, you saw a question which you very well remember that you saw it even much long ago, but you did not know the answer. How many of you experienced? Any? Very good, very honest. So sometimes you see a question, it sounds very familiar. I saw this question, you know, I skipped through it. I didn't see the solution. I thought that it won't come in the exam, and it came also. Someone comes like that. Similarly, death is not an uncommon exam. Death is a common exam. Is death not coming to anybody in anybody's life? Is there anyone in this world who has not died? So it is a known question, but people don't prepare for the answer. That is the problem. Everyone knows death is going to come one day. But because people do not know when is it going to come, they generally tend to neglect it. Studies are also like that. Like, you know, one full semester is given to people. Then in the beginning part of semester, you see the boys roaming around here, there, going to movie, party, you know, moving here and there. They hardly worry about studies. And as the semester picks up slowly, 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 towards the end, in the 2 years they begin. They are asking the notebooks of their friends, taking this. That time only they begin to say, what book was prescribed for the semester? Say like that. Isn't it? Real time. So, Prabhupada says, death is something that is inevitable for everyone, and is going to come. And if one has to pass that examination successfully, then one has to prepare for it. So devotees of God are very intelligent. They foresee this, which is going to come much later in their lives. They foresee it, and they start preparing. Just like imagine you are going in an airplane, and all of a sudden there is some problem. Like once when I was going to Calcutta, in a plane, they are announcing that now we have taken off very safely, now we are some 25,000 square feet up above the sea level, and now we hope that we will be having safe landing. So the safety is often being announced when we are going in a plane. People are generally afraid, because you don't know. Just imagine when I was looking outside the window, it was all clouds. There were mountains and all the clouds were there, and you could not even see what is on the surface of the earth. There were all full of clouds all around, and you were seeing through the glass. And one young girl came to the front, and she was in hair hostess, I think. So she was introducing, she was telling that, you know, as long as you see right above your head, she said, and we all saw that. She said, if you just pound it, it will open, and from there you will get a safety device, safety mask, in case there is an accident, fire accident in the aeroplane. You can wear the safety mask and that will provide you some oxygen or something. And then everyone saw that. And then she said, down below the seat in which you are sitting, that is detachable seat. So in case the aeroplane lands up in the ocean somewhere, then you have to take it and you just tie it with yourself, this seat on which you are sitting, then it will be floating, you know, just like you can float on the water. It will be safe. And then she said, in front of you there is a packet, you remove that booklet which is there. Then you remove the booklet and she said, in case there is an accident and a lot of smoke is seen, you go straight. And if smoke is this side, you have to go right side. And she showed the pathway also, where it is, and everything. So I was laughing to myself. See the situation in which we are in, such a precarious situation. We are taken to elevation 25,000 square feet high, 25,000 feet high. And then they are saying we are safe. Now, aeroplane is taken off safe, and we are very safe. That's when somebody catches your collar and hangs you in the towel. So very safe. That was our situation. So, and the plane crashes are not uncommon. Recently, I think in Goa, I don't know how many of you have heard of the news, they were celebrating a function that we never had plane crashes for some period of time. I think 1 year or 2 years, there were no plane crashes. During the celebration, the plane crashed. Then it came in the paper. On the same day of the function, in the afternoon, a plane crashed. The airport when they were celebrating the function. This is how things happen in this world at the least expected moment. Things like that happen. So devotees, for these dangers, paramparam, yaktiparam, natesham, and they prepare in advance at the last point of time. What is the formula? What should one do at the last time? Point of time to go beyond that. We gave them victory over that. How can somebody gain victory over that? Don't devotees die? When devotees also die, just like karmis are dying, devotees are also dying. Like karmis get old, devotees are also getting old. But the difference is, devotees prepare their consciousness in such a way that they get rid of the fear for death. They get rid of the fear. Why? they come to a spiritual platform by which they know death has no meaning. Death means the body is stripped off and you are given a new body. The material body in which you are sitting is taken off and you are allowed a new body. In fact, one is very advanced spiritually and one can go back on back to Godhead without having to return to this material world. So they know this very well. So, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, nice verse. Yetan nirvidyamanana ichyata makuto bhayam yoginam dhupanirnetam harinana anukirtanam. So, in this series of verses, it says that whether one has desires or one has no desires, but one of us, Yetavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam, one is doing Sankhya, one is doing Yoga, one is doing Sadharma Nishtha, or one is doing Ashtanga Yoga, anything you do, it says if you want to become free from all fear, then one should recite the holy names of the Lord. Then one can become free from all fear. So, chanting of the holy name is not only an easy technique, but it is the only technique in this age of Kali Yoga, where if one regularly chants the holy name and prepares one's consciousness in such a way that at the time of death one will be able to recite the holy name, call the holy name, then one will not have to die. That means one leaves the body and one returns back to Krishna. That is actually the success of our entire life. Just like everyone has a particular point in which one's success is tested. Like all of you may say, you know, I have been studying throughout the semester, Prabhuji, you know, from beginning to end. But nobody is going to hear you. People will pay a deaf ear to you if you don't get a good score, isn't it? Like, you know, the exams are coming. If somebody says, throughout the semester I studied and the exam I couldn't write, you know, I couldn't fare well, I couldn't get. Nobody is going to take you seriously for all the things that you did. So exams, certainly everyone knows it's a very serious matter. If, like one boy, I remember, he was awake throughout the night, the previous night studying, because he didn't study throughout the semester. So practically, till morning, 7:30, 8 o'clock, he was awake, and the exam was at 9. So he thought that, let me go and finish the exam now. Then I'll come back to him and I'll be flat. But he went to the exam, he did not write a single word. Hand was shaking like this. The whole night he was awake. So he didn't prepare throughout the semester, last minute, what can he study? And although he studied a lot, he couldn't write anything. So, that last test is very important. Just like in the Olympics games, you know, you may prepare for 5 years, 6 years, but then you have to hit the target. When you go to hit the target, if you hit it, then you can get the gold medal. Similarly, in everyone's life, there are different tests that come at different times. Athletes prepare themselves. They eat moderate amount of food to keep their weight normal, especially the 100 feet. They have to be very prepared. Because even a few milliseconds will make a lot of difference for them. And even they sleep in time, they have a coach who trains them. And after years of preparation, when the right time comes, then they have to run and show their ability, athletic ability. I heard in 1967, I think, there was a very famous, world-famous athlete. He was running, going there, running from places, practicing. And somebody passing by, they saw him and said, hey, what is this? I never saw you these days. You are practicing just now. Now the Olympics game is going to come in next year. One year, what will you accomplish? And this fellow said, no, I am not going to participate in the coming Olympics. I am practicing for the next one, he said. Which is going to come. How many years it comes, Samson? So 5 years from now, I am going to participate, he said. So he's preparing well in advance. So this is everything that is net practice. You all have heard of net practice? Net practice. So, this fellow was also preparing like that. And Prabhupada says in Kunti, teaching of Kunti book, which is a nice example. He says if somebody is watching a stage and a girl is making nice Bharatanatyam, you know, he's moving his fingers very beautifully and everything. So if he sees that and he becomes very attracted, oh, I've heard everyone is clapping hands. So let me also go. He goes behind the stage and tells the master of ceremonies, sir, please give me opportunity. I also want to dance. Next chance you give me. What will the MC ask him? Have you practiced anything? Do you know Bharatanatyam really? Oh, I've never done it in my life. But just now I saw it. She was dancing. I also want to dance. So he will never give you opportunity. And even if he gives you, what can you do by going to the stage? Can anybody go to stage and move the hand like this and that way? Can you do that? It's very tough. It looks very simple when you see it. It looks very symmetrical and very attractive when somebody does Bharatanatyam. But when you have to dance yourself, it's a tough job. It's not an easy job. So that requires years of practice, several years of practice, and you'll commit mistakes again and again. Similarly, to think of God at the time of death is not an easy job. Not an easy job. It requires tremendous practice. That is why, besides the prescribed duty of studying, you are also preparing our consciousness. How to live our life. So Prabhupada writes in Kunti Maharani's purports that quality of utterance of the holy name is what that matters. Where he writes this? Anybody knows the purport? Which purport Prabhupada writes this? I think he writes in this thing. Kama Kinchana Gochana. What is it? Namo Kinchana Vittaya Nibritta Guna Kutti Atma Rama Shantaya Kavalapatena. Another verse. Janmeshwar is the Super Yadamana Maratama. In that he writes, Let Papa write the purport. That the quality of utterance of the holy name is what decides one's advancement in spiritual life. So we all are uttering the holy name every day. I know very well during your examination times how you would have chanted your holy names every day. You would have counted the number of questions more than the number of pages you haven't studied, more than counting the beats. So our mind becomes so much hooked in the subject, how the question paper is going to be always in fear, anxiety. So a quality of utterance becomes very, very bad, chanting of the holy name. Of course, in anxiety also one can pray to the Lord. But the point is, one should hear the holy names of the Lord very attentively. It's very important. And quality, the meaning of the quality of utterance means, one is able to helplessly call out the Lord for shelter. Like we were singing in these two songs today. How the devotee is feeling, what kind of mood he is feeling while calling the Lord. Like in the second song we saw how Bhaktimata was praying, I'm just like a dog. Nobody will want to call himself a dog, but he's calling himself a dog. He says, my dear Master Krishna, I reside just outside your temple, and if any envious people come, I bark at them. When your servants come, I very happily serve them. And whatever your devotees eat and remnants they leave, those remnants are my only footsteps. And when the aarti bell rings, and the altar opens, I jump up immediately and come running to you to take your darshan. Nachite, nachite, nikate jayavo. And you only completely nourish me and you are only protecting me. There is no other protector for me. And you have the nourisher. And any order that you give me, I'll immediately execute. I'm ready, waiting for your instruction. So in this mood, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is serving Krishna. And very advanced platform. So this kind of mood is a very advanced platform because have you heard of dog's loyalty to the master? So that's why the dog example is very appropriate here. Dogs are considered to be very loyal to their master. Similarly, a Krishna devotee should be very loyal to Krishna and Guru and the entire sampradaya. That has given us instructions. And we are doing for whose benefit? Ultimately, all of you are practicing spiritual life for your own benefit only. See, the beauty of spiritual life is that the relationship is based on love. So, you agree to follow some standards. Okay, we'll wake up in the morning, we will chant the holy names, we'll participate in Mangala Arati, we'll participate in reading. Then we'll go to college and come back and we'll lead a clean life following four Vedic principles. Ultimately, you are doing it for your own good only. You are not actually, nobody is going to benefit by your good. Of course, when you become good, then the world benefits. Other people will benefit. But the relationship between teacher and student is such that there is no fee in between. Like one time, Bhaktivinoda Thakura tells a story. The student was put under a teacher. So the teacher was teaching him mathematics. Every day he'll give him homework to do. So this guy would do lot of work, particularly pages and pages he would do work. And next day the teacher would come and give him more work like that. At the end of the month he would pay him a fee, tuition fee. One day the boy thought foolishly, just see, this teacher is taking fee and I am doing all the work. Actually he should do and give me. He is making me work, and he is taking the fee. He thought like that. What a foolish idea, you see. Huh? Actually, why did the teacher want him to do the work? For whose benefit? For his benefit only. Similarly, sometimes we make some standards. Devotees have to wake up in the morning, devotees have to chant, devotees have to, you know, read, and they have to study, follow this, that. And these people think, these people are really creating trouble for us. Why are they taking our standards? Why are they forcing us to do this, do that? Actually, there is a moment of forcing spiritually, certainly. It's a burden of love, we can say. And devotees give a lot of love, at the same time, they also expect high standards. Today, we are selling Sarah Prabhu. Take all your boys and show them the beautiful bathrooms, etc. Then we took everyone and said, Prabhuji, it's wonderful, it's high class. I was shell-shocked to see that. It's a beautiful latrine toilet. It's amazing. Because you never had one like that. But then I told him, see, this facility is given so that you will follow very high standards now. Because for one to whom much is given, so the much is expected that comes, that follows that consequently. So we have to follow a high standard life if we want to achieve the kingdom of God. Recently, myself, Vasundar Prabhu, Vijayasi Prabhu, and Sri Gurucharan Prabhu, the four of us went to Simachalam, to the place of... Vinyasikam also, please, can you kindly move like this? So, you all know Krishna Smaran Prabhu. So, Krishna Smaran Prabhu is a professor in IIT, Delhi, Professor Krishna. They are very wonderful devotee. And he has been a very good friend of mine. He would write mails to me, I would reply him. So we were in touch. He has come here also to Pune. How many of you know Krishna Smaran Prabhu? Most of you know. Yeah. So he had invited us for a program. So we had gone to Simachalam. So night we reached there by about 10:30 or 10:40 we reached. Then we had to take a bath. Long time journey. Then we took a prasadam at 11 o'clock in the night or so. So the boys there were just like all of you are here. There are also boys there, very enthusiastic, ecstatic boys. So they came to receive us in the station, took us to the room, gave us a nice place of stay. And then after we took bath, they even served us prasadam. So they had taken a beautiful place on a hilltop in Simachalam. I was wondering why in the whole earth they chose this place, Simachalam. Why not Bombay or why not Delhi or some place like that? Then I understood they have a specific reason. When we went, we found our vehicle was, snow was going round and round and round, top, hilltop, practically it was thick jungle, it was forest, and it was a secluded place in the top. So I heard that they kept a program there so that nobody will have any pubs or any fun outside in between to go during the lectures. You know, while attending lectures, you come out, you can only see the jungle, nothing else there. Completely secluded. So people cannot go for ice cream or, you know, buying a cake or, you know, having some cold drinks, nothing. Completely kept in the top, aloof, far away from the madding crowd, you know, as you say. So it was kept far away. And besides that, when we were about to sleep in the night, so this boy, after giving prasad, it was almost 11:20 or something like that. So I was telling the devotees, my Lord, it's pretty late. And this boy, he was so respectful throughout, and then he told us, so to you, morning Mangalarti at 4 o'clock, told us. From his serious face and eyes, I could understand that he is also going to attend. In fact, that boy, he had to go down the hill and stay somewhere. By the time he goes down, it will be another half an hour, 1 minute. Morning, he has to get up early and come, you can imagine. And remember, next day morning, I was wondering why they have kept 4 o'clock. In ISKCON also we have 4:30 only. I was wondering. At 3:30, early morning, we were sleeping, we jumped off from the bed. A big sound on the hilltop, the big speakers they had put up. Sound was saying, Hare He Om! We were brought up from the bed. They were chanting Vishnu Sahasranam and things like that they were putting. We jumped off from the bed. So 3:30 started. You don't have, you only do my alarm clock only there. This year. So that's another reason why it was arranged in Simachalam. Early morning there's automatic alarm for you to get here. So we got us in the bed and we took bath and we went. Practically 200 people there at 3:45 early morning. So there were 200 people had come for the seminars. Yeah, it's a 5-day seminar. 200 people are there, Mataji's, Prabhuji's children, everyone. Nicely dressed, ready with the lock and everything, waiting for the altar to open. 3:45. Everyone was there. So Krishna Center was there, we met him, we offered obeisances. And they were doing kirtan, they were chanting and dancing and roaring. And devotees were so excited playing Katak Nubangam. And he told me to give Bhagavatam class. I was glorifying Prabhuji. And every now and then they saw they were offering obeisances and practically putting so much garlands for all of us. We were very young devotees still, they were so much loving and so much respectful. They were highly disciplined. So we met one of the some of the boys of Krishna Prabhu. I had a nice talk with him in that month. But he knows, Bhais Prabhu knows, and he was Abhiram, I think, isn't it? So we had a long talk with him. He was telling us the student schedule there. He said, we are in IIT Delhi. Morning, the students get up at 2:30 in the morning. But of course, night they sleep at 8:30. That's very important. 6 hours they sleep. Morning, they get up at 2:30. And 2:30, before the Mangalarti, they finish all their chanting in the morning at about 4:30, the runs are over. And at 4:30, what they do? 4 o'clock, they have Mangalarti, and Delhi also. And then Mangalarti, Narsingharti, Tulasi Harati, and then Guru Puja, and then morning Bhagavatam class also, Sardis. And after this, the boys, 6 o'clock, they go for cooking. So about 25-30 boys, they cook themselves every day. And they're cooking, they offer the Bhagavad Gita and take prasad and then go to college. So Sara has given them 8 hours of prescribed duty, they told me. They have to study the colleges 8 hours, including the college timings. So the college timings are such that in the college they have to spend about 5-6 hours only. And the rest 2 hours they have to do their college studies like that in a day. They have to do. Evening they come back, they go to the rooms, take bath. Immediately they come. Again evening there is Gaur Arati in the evening. And then there is Narsimha Arati. Then there is a Bhagavad Gita class in the evening. They finish all these things, and night they go to the hall, isn't it? Go to rest. And on Thursdays and Saturdays, they have one-time program, as we often call it. For the new boys, they have a program. About 150-200 students come for that, Thursday and Saturday. So every morning, Bhagavatam, every evening, Bhagavad Gita. Then I asked them about the initiation rules, you know. They said that at least we should be chanting 6 years of 16 rounds. We should be chanting. That is the rule they have, 6 years. And then they also said, if somebody wants to go for initiation and all, they have to study Bhagavad. They have a 10-8-3 formula, they said. What is a 10-8-3? 10 times they should have studied Bhagavad Gita. 10-3-1 formula. 10 times Bhagavad Gita, 3 times Bhagavatam plus Canto, and once Chatvincharitamrita. Like that. 10-3-1. That is the formula they should have studied. So we saw, although they were doing it, people, the initiated devotees were hardly any in that, very few. Only a handful of devotees. And we were just observing, looking around. You know this chamar which we do? That the Lord, we do this chamar, no? By chamar. So even that had this thing, like Tulsi Maharani is wearing, like the chamar also was wearing, you know. They had put the chamar here and it was having a cloth around it. They are so high class worshippers. The altar, they are taking care of the altar so much. And the boys were so respectful. Like, you know, when I was sitting and chanting in the morning, one boy came and he was just sitting next to me practically 5 minutes or so. I had a heart open, I was watching. Then afterwards I opened eyes and asked him, you want something from me? Then he said, yes sir, I just wanted more from you. Can I close the altar? He asked. Yes, he closed it, I said. And he closed it. So I trained them in such etiquettes, high class etiquettes. And Pujari services, evening we went for Harinam, down the hill, got a very excited Harinam. And after he gave class, really, he was bringing out all the anarthas that we had, how we should overcome them, and how as a community we should help one another, and how our community is like a family, how we should develop ourselves more and more. So I was telling, when I was talking to him personally, I said, how do you maintain these people? We have such a high standard. How do people stay? So he said, I don't know how, but these people are staying with me. Only very serious people come. He said, we have a community in near the Tosimatra, and there's a place called Vishakhapatnam. That we have a community of 6 families, he said. So those who are ready to follow instructions, we call them as community members. 6 families. And those who cannot follow the... See, wherever they go, they have the same standards. Even after we become grass, also the same standards. Morning 4 o'clock, morning 2:30 getting up, night 8:30 sleeping, and morning Bhagavatam, evening Bhagavatam. Same style they have, wherever you go. So he said, those who can stick to the standards, they form a part of the community. those cannot see Krishna, they can live elsewhere, but they can come to the community and go whenever they feel like. He said, I was very inspired by all this. I had a long talk with him. On my way back, I was planning, let me go to Pune. But of course, I didn't want to make a plan like 2:30 in the morning and all that and frighten all of you. Don't worry, we are never going to hike up the standards like that. We are keeping standards that are reasonable. So in the coming semester, how many of you know the standards, the policies? How many of you saw? Only the overseas and a few devotees in the session. Anyway, you all have enough time to go through it. Today, practically we had almost 8 hours meeting. 7 to 8 hours meeting. About 10, 12 of us, morning to evening, till before this meeting began, we were sitting all day long making policies. I would like to frankly tell a few things. In the last 2 years of development of IYF, since 96, I was began and it developed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Later on we get a youth festival, about 1500 boys at that. So we were having different strategies, we were doing well. But we found that number was increasing, many, many people were coming, going. But we weren't getting very serious people. Of course, in the last 2-3 years, IYF grew very fastly. Our number has increased over 2,200, more than 200. In that, about 100 devotees are chanting 16 rounds. More than 100 devotees are chanting 16 rounds. So Krishna Swami always appreciates it so much. He says he loves Pune when he comes to Pune. Pune is flooded with young boys, enthusiastically chanting and doing the base activities. But we found in the last semester, or probably the last 1 year also, we are gradually spiraling down in our standards, in the basis. People are not able to come for the morning program, either they are sleeping late, or some people come at 7 o'clock, some come at 8 o'clock, some skip the whole morning and directly come for prasadam. Like Vaishnavas are always compassionate, they said. Some of the devotees were so compassionate, they told us that the prasadam should be kept more magnanimously available for many people. So we relaxed certain standards last semester, but you don't have to be a 16-rounder. You can be even chanting 4 rounds or 5 rounds. But if you are serious enough, you can invite you for prasadam. And then the morning programs also last semester we kept at least 3 days if they come in a week, it's good enough. But even on those 3 days, devotees started coming at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30. Not at 4:30 in the morning. So in this way, if there is a hole in a boat, you may say, after all, it's a small hole, how does it matter? But then gradually what will happen to the boat? The whole boat will sink under the water. So that is our condition. Sense gratification is such that you give a small loophole, and small sense gratification will lead to a little bigger sense gratification, and then bigger and bigger and bigger. You know the camel story? The camel was feeling very cold and the sheikh was sleeping inside peacefully. The camel said, "Sir, sir, you are peacefully sleeping, what about me?" And he was making sound like that, he was fast asleep. And the camel thought, "At least I put my head inside." Put his head inside. And he said, "Sir, sir, if I have my head, is it all right?" And he opened one of his eyes and said, "Oh, okay," he said, and he went to sleep. So now the camel said he was fast asleep. So outside it is so cold, let me put 2 more legs inside. So the front 2 legs he put inside. Gradually it is said he occupied the whole tent and he kicked the sheikh out. He occupied the whole tent. Similarly, in our spiritual life we can see that the leniences are always taken full advantage in everyone's life. Here also in our ashram we have Mangalarti, every morning people have to put attendance tea. So once I had told them that because we have lack of latrines and facility and all, if people get 1 yell, it is all right. I just casually told somebody, I don't know how it spread like wildfire. Everyone came to know. And I started saying, majority of devotees will get always 1 yell every week. And then I said, only if they get a second yell, we have to take an action, I said. And then many devotees started getting yell. There will be 2 yells. Like that. So then I understood that it all depends on whatever rules you make. If you make a rule, that is, in our ashram vernacular, at least in a week, one day is written Mangala Arati. Vernacular, then what do people do? One Mangala Arati they will come in a week. And the other day they will sleep till 9 o'clock. Like that. So that's what happened in our practical life also. Devotees. I'm not telling about every one of you, but some and followed. And most importantly, when we ignore the morning sadhana, when you don't wake up, see the morning time is such a precious time. Your chanting will be so attentive. See, we cannot control the mind. Mind is not others. Mind is Krishna's property. So Krishna only can control the mind. And Krishna has made the Brahma Murtam so favorable in the morning that the nature cooperates with you. Nature favors you to chant better. So in such an early morning, other if you don't get up and we don't chant with all devotees, then some boys are telling, okay, get up at 6:30. And then when I come to chant, there is reading going on in the base. So better I stay in my room and chant. So those devotees who did like that, now they are gone. They are not here today. Because they were chanting in their own rooms and they got lost completely. So morning sadhana, those who don't do, they cannot become very serious in spiritual life. Getting up early morning, taking bath, attending sadhana. Really feel the ecstasy and even give that ecstasy to others. This is the history of Advaita. The devotees are sitting here, Vyasundar Prabhu, Vijayasi Prabhu, Krishna Kshara Prabhu, Chatancharan Prabhu, Shamar Prabhu, so many wonderful devotees. If you have gone to the places and seen in their days, they were all very strict. And all the people, the Krishna Kshara is now married, if you see, that when he was staying in our BTG, he'll be up there in the morning putting the attendance fee every morning. So Ravasu is very enthusiastic in family life. How can a person be enthusiastic in family life unless he is spiritually advanced? He says in Bhagavatam also in the 3rd section, Jitendriya Satma Buddha Atma Ratur Buddhasya. You have to be a Jitendriya. One has to conquer the mind and senses. So you all have a good opportunity. So the policies are given to the respective verses, you can go through it. But coming semester we have standard, made some standard policies. Which will come to know when you read that, so that all devotees will come for participating in the morning program and reading program, Mangala Arati. And if you are attending the morning program, and the altar is the same altar, which you have, all of you have similar altar, Kunjidhari is standing there and Ganta is standing there, but the way you deal with their lordships will depend on your attentiveness and your fine-tuned consciousness. If your consciousness is fine, then the service you render servant will be also fine. But if your consciousness is blunt, then altar will be open, you will be eating in front of the deities, I will be shouting at one another in front of the deities, and you will create a lot of problems for the managers. You can easily see that all these things are interconnected. When somebody doesn't do the sadhana properly, they will become a burden on the managers. But if people do sadhana very nicely in the morning, then they will actually be a very useful instrument in the manager's hands. The base. So we felt that more than quantity, quality is very important. Like I was telling about the quality of utterance of the holy name. So in the same way, quality of spiritual life is very, very important. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, Kim Tamatasa Bahadur Parakshaya Nayadisa Param Mudu Muhurtam Ritam Katate Sayata. One moment of transcendental thought is by far superior to another man who lives for thousands and thousands of years. So our life may be short, but how we live it is very important. So if you cultivate a pure consciousness, like the Krishna Center guys are selling, they are so strict about their consciousness, about their behavior, about their activity, about their dealings with other people, and their regular sadhana every day. Even Krishna is everything. And it's not that all of them are seven and brahmacharis. In fact, not even a single person is brahmacharis in that. You see Krishna Prabhu's entire group, he also advises them to take to grihastha nicely and become ideal examples in society. So it's not that such strict people later on show up and they become brahmacharis. So he himself is a grihastha, Krishna's parent Prabhu, needless to say. So we have such high class devotees in our movement and we can take inspiration from them by seeing their standard. And he was talking, when he was talking to the person, I was so happy. So he was telling, what is life? Life is simply a preparation for that ultimate exam, death. When death comes, we should be able to call out Krishna's name fervently. If we have to do that, now every moment is an opportunity awarded for that preparation. Like, you know, sometimes you work in a company, company offers you a car, you see that? Why do they give you a company car? Are they giving you a car to enjoy? No, go to Lanavala and enjoy that. Why is the company giving you a car? The company feels that this person is a competent person. If you give him a car, he will even do better service to company. But if somebody takes a car and goes to Lanavala to enjoy the waterfalls, then they will catch you. And they will not only take away the car, they will give you punishment also. So human body is rewarded for us after millions of lifetimes. And Lord thinks that, okay, now let him take a human body and perfect it. His life and go, come back to me. But then we are taking human body and not using it properly. So I would like to end with this note that we should take our spiritual life very seriously. Now we are going home, protect your consciousness nicely. Chant your name, chant the holy names every day sincerely. Never become lax. At home you will get a lot of comforts. You will be lying in an easy chair and, you know, lazing there. You will become more lazy. Take care. And don't become complacent. And when you come back in the coming semester, we are thinking that we have been teaching and expanding so much. We will reduce your going out services so that many of you are in family. How many of you are in family? Many, almost half of them. So you'll have to study for your gate exam also. And you can focus on your sadhana very nicely, because we don't know after this we have to go out of, you know, also to various places. So you have to prepare yourself well now, so that when you go out, like Vishal Mahalla is now in IIT, he is doing so well, even outside Pune. So you can learn to, if you have very high standards now, when you go out, you will remain safe. If you are only, you know, we are coming once in a week for morning or twice in a week, when you go out, you will completely go out chanting. It will become completely dila, slack. So let us devote our time in the coming semester there, preparing ourselves to become better devotees. Hare Krishna.